Blog Talk Radio.
Be somewhere around. You see, not only that, you see, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. You see, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much, oh, sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season, and that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby.
you're my flower. Ooh, baby, a flower. You're my flower. Flower. It's you, baby. It's you. It's you, baby, baby.
I just love you. That is what they're talking about. And I apologize. This is Wardell Potts, and you listen to Solar Records Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am kind of feeling a little, not my excited, you know, we're about to work out kind of guy. I'm feeling a little concerned about my brothers and sisters around the world when it comes down to breast cancer awareness. So my mindset is just in a different place, but I'm still that same old guy that want to have fun, want to work out. But our workout show dance, the dance show is really about health. It was about the cardiovascular system. You remember we were talking about, you know, taking care of yourselves and not being a couch potato and getting your groove on. And then go out and have a wonderful time for the weekend. So, but because of, you know, just different conversations, postings by people like Astrid and other people, I saw the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I thought, wait a minute, you know, I could do so. I can contribute to this. You know, if you're asking people to be aware, then, you know, I have a format that could reach out to more people. And so I thought, hey, why not do it here on Solar Records Radio? So that's exactly what we've been doing all month because of people like Astrid and others that are just out there and doing their best to be their best in terms of, you know, promoting something that's very important to all of us. And so here we go. This is just another way of just loving on each other and, you know, just kind of making you aware of things that we may take for granted. And especially as brothers, you know, we're not health conscious like women are. I mean, some of us are, but when you're talking about the average, you know, more men are more, it'll be okay. It'll get better. Whatever it is, you know, we don't like going to the doctor. We don't like, you know, people poking us and, you know, and touching us. So we just want to just kind of power our way through it. And statistics have proven that that doesn't work because women are outliving us. And it's because they take more initiative to go to the doctor, to be in those uncomfortable positions and having these things done to them to make sure that they're okay. And it works out in their best interest because they live longer. So we as men need to, you know, look at how they're playing their cards and say, hey, we need to learn something from the women. But there are also women out there, statistically proven that, you know, they don't do the same as most women. And so we want to remind them as well that it's really important that you, you know, maybe pay attention to what's happening in your life with your body, because a lot of times the body is not telling you what's going on the inside. And so therefore you have to go and be checked out. and make sure everything is okay. And I know it's uncomfortable. I do, because I'm one of those guys that just don't like it, don't want to be bothered with it and stuff. But I have been doing it lately. I have been going to the dentist. Oh, my God, I hate that. And but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I just don't like people drilling in my mouth and fixing this, and you know. But after you get so much pain, you know, you are really fortunate to be okay. That, you know, with, especially in the mouth, you know, there's usually like a cavity or something, and they can fix that. But inside the body, when you're starting to feel pain, that can be very deadly. And that is why, you know, we need to do what we need to do as adults. You know, go take care of yourself. We need to do that. And so, anyway, we're going to have a nice little conversation about this. But before we do, you know, I'm going to play some music a little bit and just, you know, just kind of like get ourselves prepared for some intellectual conversation. And not necessarily is it all intellectual. It is just basic information that we need to hear, that we need to know, and we need, and the way we need to protect ourselves. But before we do, since I'm from Philly, we're going to hear a little bit of Motown Philly on Solar Records Radio.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah, yo, what's up, y'all?
Oh,
I love that groove. My goodness gracious, I tell you. Well, guys, we had a little fun. We had a little dance music. And, you know, like I said, the dance part is about the cardiovascular. It's all about our health, right? And so I just call it Solar Wants to Dance because I want to get you brothers off of the couch and in the mornings, and let's work out and have a good time, and then go out and have a good time with our families. But we got to take care of our health first so that we can take care of our loved ones and have a good time with them. So anyway, it is time to get to the next segment of our show here, and I'm so blessed because I have Auntie Patricia on the line, right? Is that, am I right, Patricia? Are you there, Pat? No? Okay. All right, so if that's not right, then let me go to this one. Carrie, are you there?
I'm here. Hold on. Let me see what's going on. I am here, and I wonder if she is here.
I see her. Her line is on, but I hear no words coming out of her. And I did say her name right, right? Auntie Patricia?
Yeah, it's 11. I'm gonna tell her. It said she's texting me. It's 11:15 now.
She's here. She's on. She's heard. I know her number, and it's here. She's called in. So
he can't hear you. It.
Okay. Tell. Let's get her
she
to
said
hang
she's
up.
She's on.
I know, but we can't
she's
hear
on.
Her. I know we can't hear her. So I'm going to tell her to just call back. Tell her to call back in. Okay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I have just been running around, just trying to, you know, get things together here in the studio. We had a power outage, you remember, because it was in the middle of your interview.
Yeah, I do.
And,
right,
and,
I remember.
Yeah.
We were talking on the other end, like, hey, what's going on? And and you're and we're like, hello. We're like, oh, maybe he.
I got kicked out of the family reunion.
Yeah.
And so, but that's because oil rigs, you know, how they dig into the ground looking for oil. Well, they decided to dig into one of the cables.
Right.
To AT&T's internet system and destroyed it. So so my studio has been down because of that. Hold it. Let's see. Let me, Auntie, are you there now?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
We hear you now.
That's Patricia. Pasta.
Yes.
Patricia. Did you say pasta?
No, like, she's at Costa, COSTA.
Okay. And how are you, Auntie?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a great time always talking to your niece. And you know, we're just chopping it up and talking about what's going on and what's been happening and stuff. And so, but prior to us not being able to get you, I was just sharing with the listeners that, you know, on Saturdays we really it's more of a health talk type show, and so I'm excited that I get to do this with you guys and whoever, you know, want to share and be a blessing to their brothers and sisters around the world about health and stuff. So I know that you have a situation that's very close to your heart, and so I want you to take a moment and, you know, just kind of share out about this breast cancer awareness that we are talking about here today.
Okay. I actually cancers run through my family, but the latest bout is I have a friend of mine who a couple of years ago, there was a group of women just sitting outside talking, and it was, you know, about women's personal problems and stuff, and she happened to mention, you know, what was going on with her, and I said, well, at a woman your age, I don't think that should be happening at this time, you know, personal time. Mm-hmm. And I said, maybe you should contact your doctor. So a few days later, she did go into her doctor. And then a few days later, she called and she said, I have to go in for a biopsy. And I said, really? She said, yeah. So they went in, they did the biopsy, and then she found out she had cancer. So she went through and she had chemo done and thought that, you know, they had told her that they got rid of it and stuff. Well, about 2 months later, she started having issues, these pains in her side, and they found out the cancer had came back again. So now that's been, like I said, a couple of years, but now I'm watching her go down. So I'm watching her go down. And she's no longer able to live by herself. She's living with her daughter, thank God. That she's able to do that.
Yes.
And I actually just went to see her last Tuesday because now she's on oxygen. And they're teaching her how to get around with the oxygen. Because, you know, her body is, she's actually now has congestive heart failure as well. Her body fills up with fluids. You know, but I've never, you know, she is so courageous. She just, she's always going. She continues to go. She continues to go, you know. And I just, my advice to women is I don't care how well you feel, go and get a checkup every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what age you are. You go and you get a checkup.
Yes.
You know. I go every 6 months, you know, so, and it truly, like I said, cancer runs through my family. You know, my dad passed away from cancer when I was 7. So I know what it feels like. And then of course, you know, I had brothers with it as well. So I always advise people, you know, if you get a little pain and stuff, I don't care if a doctor says, it'll go away. No, you tell them you want to be checked.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right to be checked. You have insurance. You know, that's what insurance is for. And if you don't have insurance, there are other ways to be checked.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Now, can I ask you a question in regards to your friend? So, when she went in to get her first exam, when she first discovered that there was an issue, what was the cancer at when they discovered it? Was it level 1, 2, 3?
It was three.
Stage?
It was level 3. It was stage three.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Okay. So I know that that's hard. I mean, but I just had a testimony last weekend with someone who had stage 4 cancer, and they survived. And so when she went in with stage 3 cancer, because I don't want people to be afraid. If you have it, you can beat this thing, but it just depends on your body, right? It depends on the type of tumor it is and how aggressive it is and all that stuff. So in her particular situation, once she found out she was at stage 3, what was the process?
She went in for surgery, you know, she was set up for surgery. They did the surgery, you know, and then told her she would get chemo after that, you know. But like I said, if people didn't know her and know her situation, you wouldn't have known.
Right.
You wouldn't have known because she was constantly going. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, so she asked me to go to the store with her one day, and I said, okay. She was driving around. I said, wait, I don't even know where we're going. Where are we going? She said, to the store. I just know shortcuts. And I told her, I have no idea where you're driving to. But she did. She just knew shortcuts, and she was always driving. She was always going. I could look out my window, and I'd say, there she is again. And I would call her sometimes and ask her, where are you? She said, why? I said, because your car's not here, so where are you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to the store. How many stores can you go to? You just went to the store yesterday.
Oh, man. That's funny. So
yeah,
she was busy, her way.
You know, yes, it was her way. She said, I don't want to slow down.
Right.
You know, because if I slow it, listen, if her daughter didn't take her keys, she probably would still be out there driving.
Wow. So, oh, man, this is, you got my eyes wet here. It's tough here. So when she went in, they had the surgery, they gave her chemo. And did they get rid? Was the cancer gone at that point?
Yeah, they had told her. Well, see, that's what she told us, you know. But I'm pretty sure. I know she wouldn't lie to me, you know. But it was gone. But she started, like I said, she was. I couldn't tell because we would talk every day, and I could tell that. She would talk, but it was like she couldn't catch her breath. Say, are you okay? Yes. But then one day her daughter always calls me when something's not right. Her daughter would say, my mom said call you, because she knew that I would check in every day to see how she was doing. And her daughter said, oh, I brought my mom to the hospital because of her with that breathing problem, and they found out that she was retaining fluid in her body. So they actually put like a draining tube in her, and her daughter would be able to drain the fluid. Well, the last time she went in, they kept her a few more days. And her daughter said, yeah, this time she says she might want to go home, but I think it's best if she stays with me. You know, but she talks, she has such a positive attitude. Like she'll call me, no, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and I have to tell her, I'm doing okay. How are you? You know, but I send a lot of, I'm always sending her prayers, you know, and I like sending prayers to people, period, but I'm always sending her prayers. And like I said, this one is real.
It's okay, auntie.
It's real. It's really bothering.
So did it take 2 years and it came back after 2 years? Is that what you said?
It came back in like a year.
Oh, wow.
Came back in like a year, you know.
Now, did she have chemo and radiation or just chemo?
No, they didn't give her radiation. But they just gave her chemo, and I think it was because of her age.
Oh, okay. Wow, so I'm surprised. Now, this might sound a little funny, but I'm surprised she's not calling you, asking you to come pick her up and take her to the store.
you know, I'm telling you, if it wasn't because she was on, like I said, having oxygen, she probably would. No, she, okay, let me back up, because I was there when her therapist was there the other day, because they're, like I said, they're teaching her how to breathe effectively with the oxygen. And okay. she had said, that was Tuesday, she said Saturday she had gone to the store. They took her out to the store so that she could get one of those lift chairs to help her. And the therapist said, well, how long was you out there? She said, I probably would have been out there longer, but the oxygen started running out, so I had to go home.
Okay. I get that. Now, let me ask you this. So it came back. So are they able to get rid of it again?
No. This time she said that the doctor, you know, she finally was able to say it's terminal. Oh. And I think because of her other complications, you know, with the heart failure, I think that's why, you know, but she still, she, you know, she has a positive outlook the whole way. And I think that's the main key is I don't care if they do, you know, tell you, oh, well, I have, you know, you have cancer. It's all in how you take it in, how you perceive it, and how you...
You respond to it,
Exactly. Exactly.
And that could be with anything, right? It, you know, when you're in a storm, it's not about the storm. It's how you respond to the storm. And
that's the whole key. That is the whole key to it.
And so... Well, you know, I'm happy that she is obviously responding in a optimistic way, as opposed to, you know, being very depressed and sad. So, and it's hard for
us. She's actually handling it in a very positive way.
That's amazing. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Wow, well, you know, I just want to thank you. I know this is a hard story for you. So I know that there's something else you want to say, and I would like for you to, if there's anything, any advice that you want to give, you can go ahead on and do that now, if you would like, if you want to share your thoughts to people that may, you know, be a little... concerned or uncomfortable with going to the doctor or not trusting the doctor or feeling like it's just a little something, it's not that bad, I'll be okay. I mean, you know, those type of people that just don't get it. Is there
there are so many people that, you know, just don't feel that a doctor, you know, well, a doctor can't tell me anything. I know my body. Yes, we know our bodies. You should know your body. But when your body tells you there's a pain there that shouldn't be there, or there's something there that should not be there, that's not normal, that's when you pick up the phone and you call, hey, I want to get checked.
Yes.
Don't keep waiting. Oh, it'll go away sooner or later. You know, when I get an ache, I pick up the phone. Hey, there's something going on. I need to get in to see the doctor. And I've been, you know, I've been fortunate. I have to admit, God has been good to me. So, I mean, I broke bones, broke every bone in my ankle, broke my pelvis in two spots.
Wow.
Are you a gymnast? No, I used to run a lot. I ran the marathon, LA marathon and stuff, but and I waited till I got older to do that.
Oh, wow.
But I listen, I had, and this is a story and it has nothing to do with cancer, but this is a true story. I had a double gallbladder surgery. First surgery, They took the gallbladder out. I kept complaining. I had pain. Doctor said there's nothing wrong with you. I kept going back and forth to the hospital to finally, I almost went through the emergency room window, driving.
Mm.
And I told them, something's wrong with me. This is when I was still living in Rhode Island. I went to Mass General, and the doctor there told me that I literally had to have surgery done again. They thought I still had a stone lodged in me. When I went in for the surgery, the doctor, my heart stopped twice on the table.
Whoa. Oh,
the doctor
God.
Said if I had waited 2 more weeks, I would have died from blood poisoning. I had so much poison in my body.
Oh, my Lord.
And listen, if I hadn't done what I kept saying, something's wrong, I wouldn't be here to tell the story today.
Amen.
So my thing is, when you have something wrong and you know you have something wrong,
do something.
You continue. I don't care what they tell you, there's nothing wrong. You continue. You're your best advocate.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Wow.
You are. That's
Thank you for, you know, being persistent and almost ready to drive through the emergency room window, because it's like, this is serious. I'm not going to let y'all tell me there's nothing wrong with me. I feel it. And it's really crazy when people listen to people who tell you that. It's almost like, what, is something wrong with my brain? You telling me that I'm crazy? I know what I feel.
Exactly, and that's what the doctor kept saying, no, we took it out. Yeah, you took it out, but they were supposed to let a liquid through you. They stopped it at one point and cut it off, and that's where it ended up being, where the stone was lodged. They ran me through a battery of tests, the last one, the doctor said, it's going to be very uncomfortable. That's when they found it.
Wow.
And he said they had to cut out part of my esophagus and all because of all the infection inside.
Oh, wow. You would never know that part of your esophagus is cut off because you sound wonderful. Yeah. And I lost my father to, he had a tumor in his esophagus, and they couldn't they couldn't get it out. So this is a great story. I mean, thank you for sharing that, because that really is about pay attention,
exactly,
and don't let anyone tell you. Exactly.
That's right.
It's designed to communicate to you. You just need to pay attention to it. It's talking to you.
I remember your body.
I remember as a young man, my dad had an auto store. And he had quite a few businesses, but this one store, he let me run it when I got to like 16. He let me, you know, work in it by myself. And then there would be someone there to, you know, an adult was there to always make sure I was good. And it would be, he would like leave me at a certain time of the day when it was less traffic in his store, and he would go do whatever he did. But in the meantime, we had cigarettes for sale, and they weren't in the machine. They were just up on the wall there, and people would say, "Give me 2 packs of that," or "Give me a pack of that." And so I decided I wanted to try this smoking thing too. And I remember trying to smoke, and it was like burned my throat. I was like, "Whoa, what's wrong with people?" And so then I kept trying it, and then I felt the strangeness, and I was like, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. And, you know, I'm so glad that my body was telling me, this is not good for us. Don't do this. And I'm so glad that I listened to my body, because, I think I would have destroyed myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that my dad had a tumor in his esophagus, because he got that, because he smoked cigars and pipes. back in the day, they would smoke, you know, he was a preacher, and he sit there and smoke the pipe, sit there and talk to the people in the, and didn't think anything of it until it was too late. When he went to get checked up, it was too late. And but thank you for, you know, sharing that, because it's important. It really, I mean, it's the body is talking all the time. And we really, really got to try to pay attention to that. So that's awesome story. Thank you so much. And is there anything else that you want to share, or either one of you?
No, I believe. Go ahead, Auntie.
No, I was going to say, just, you know, really listen to your body. Keep in tune with your body.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you know, men have breast cancer too, and it's a very small percentage. And so what happens is most men don't talk about it because for whatever reason, you know, we're a little slow anyway. We just kind of like trying to keep things to ourselves, it just seems like a strange dynamic to say I have breast cancer for a man, so you never hear about it. But I want to play you something from Beyonce's father, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So just take a moment and listen to this story from him real quick.
Now, as we mark Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we have an exclusive interview with Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles. Michael, you had a chance to sit down, talked about something very personal to you.
Yes, sat down with Matthew Knowles, Robin, and he opened up about being one of the thousands of men diagnosed with breast cancer every year. And I spoke to him about how he's doing now and his mission to shine light on how this disease can affect men.
He's father to two of the most famous performers in the world, Solange and Beyonce, seen together here in the documentary Homecoming. As Beyonce's former manager, Matthew Knowles had a say in her name since her days in Destiny's Child. But this morning, the 67-year-old is sharing something very personal about his own life.
It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you decided this was the right time to share some news about your health.
What I want to share, Michael, is that I also am a survivor of breast cancer.
Just 2 months ago, Knowles noticed a small recurring dot of blood on his shirt.
And then I told my wife, and she says, you know what? I saw a dot of blood on the sheets. So I immediately went to my doctor. I got a mammogram, and then it was very clear that I had breast cancer.
When you get the diagnosis that, yes, you have breast cancer, what goes through your mind?
Of all the things I could get, why would I get this? From a man's perspective, I'm thinking, why me?
Only 1% of breast cancer diagnoses are men. What have the doctors told you about your diagnosis?
So I have that BRCA2 that's mutated, which means I have four things to be concerned about: prostate cancer, mm-hmm. pancreatic cancer, melanoma, and breast cancer. The rest of my life, I have to be very much aware and conscious and do all of the early detection, constant mammograms, constant prostate exams, constant MRI, so the rest of my life.
Luckily, he found it early.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Michael. I had my surgery the last week of July, mm-hmm. and now doing all the steps for recovery.
You go through this, but you don't go through it alone. You have a family. So
right.
How did they handle it?
Well, the first call was to my family. Mm-hmm. That was the very first call, because this is genetics. It also means that my kids have a higher chance, a higher risk. Even my grandkids have a higher risk. And they handle it like they should. They went and got the test.
Noel said cancer changed his outlook on life.
I stopped drinking. I wanted to just have a clean bill of health, do things, exercise, meditate. Things that used to be important, Michael, are not important to me now. Just look at the world differently.
Today, he is urging everyone to do the same, especially black men.
Breast cancer is more common in black men than it is in white men. So what have you learned about the disparities when it comes to this and with race.
I learned again that the numbers we have for men on breast cancer are not adequate because we don't have enough men that come forward that take the exam. I'm hoping by me coming here today, speaking out, letting folks know that you can survive this. But it has to be early detection, and I can't overemphasize the word early.
I had no idea about this until my brother went through it, and I thought, well, male breast cancer, something I never thought in my family, my brother, anything like that, and I never really paid attention to it. I think like most men out there, you just deal with something happening, and you say, oh, I'll be fine.
I'm sorry to hear about your brother, but I hope you also stand side by side with me. I hope you go get a BRCA exam.
Well, you got me going to the doctor to get this blood test, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for everybody out there who's watching. Really appreciate you sharing that because I think it's going to help a lot of people, myself included. I mean, really sit there with him. He found his early, he said his history in imaging when he worked at Xerox really let him know the signs to look for, and then the spots of blood on the sheet and also on his shirt kind of sent him straight to the doctor for the test. That I definitely will take this test because my brother that said went through it as well. And it's not something we hear about a lot as men.
It's not.
And we're going to bring in somebody who can help us more with this, Dr. Jen Ashton. Doc, thank you so much for being here this morning. An American Cancer Society estimates that 500 men will die from breast cancer this year. And who is most at risk? And what do we need to know as male breast cancer as opposed to women's breast
cancer? Well, this is why it's so important to talk about it. In terms of risk factors, we know, first of all, there are some risk factors associated with male breast cancer, like cirrhosis, a condition of the liver, something called Klinefelter syndrome, where a man has two X chromosomes, any man who's had previous radiation therapy to the chest, and then, of course, family history. Then you can get it when you have none of these risk factors. And the stigma, Michael, as you said, often prevents men from going to seek evaluation. It's a very pink world, and that can prevent men, unfortunately, from getting early diagnosis and therefore early treatment.
Matthew talked about this BRCA gene mutation. Yeah. Tell us more about the genetic component of cancer.
Well, you know, like anything, there is a small genetic component. About 10% of male breast cancer does have a genetic component. So every man who is diagnosed with breast cancer absolutely has to be offered genetic testing. And we have to emphasize, we hear about the BRCA mutation. There are many genes mutations that are associated with breast cancer. Those are just the two most common ones. But again, when you talk about a man getting genetic testing, they are less likely to do so, and underrepresented minorities even less likely. And it is so important because their offspring has a 50% chance of also having that mutation. So it doesn't just affect them.
Yeah, and that's why Matthew was bringing that up, talking about his children. Women, you know, we're told at a certain age, though it keeps fluctuating what age it is to get a mammogram. At least we're told to do that. What can men do?
Well, you know, men, because they obviously have less breast tissue, they should know their bodies. And if they feel something, because mammogram screening is not recommended for men, that's obviously something that's really, really important. In terms of being healthy, you guys, we have to remember heart disease is still the number one killer of men and women. Yeah. So even after a diagnosis of breast cancer, the best thing you can do for your health is watch your weight, exercise, don't smoke, protect your heart. According to the American Heart Association, cancer survivors are still more likely to die of heart disease, and some types of breast cancer treatment can affect the heart. So this is about treating the whole person, not just the body part.
And like Michael's brother, my brother too, a couple of years ago, went through the same thing with breast cancer. He detected a lump and went in, and thankfully he's doing well as too. Real men wear pink.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, there's an organization, and I'm glad that we're bringing this up. We went pink yesterday, and it's just so good to continue the conversation.
The awareness is literally life-saving here.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Doc, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you for the information.
All right, that was great information, and to just hear, Beyonce's dad talk about that, what a frightening experience, you know, to see blood on your pillow, and then just blood on your chest out of the blue, and a lot of men have no clue, no idea that we can have breast cancer. So that right there is awareness for me. Just right there, I had no idea until I started doing this show that men had breast cancer. And so I want to thank my friend Julian, that she was the one that told me about that. And we started doing the research, and then she pointed me to Beyonce's dad. And I was like, what? Are you serious? And so here we go. Also, my partner, Don, is on the line. Don, how you doing? You all right, bro?
I am good. I was in listening to that little expose, man. I was, wow. Did not know that. I did not know Matthew Knowles had what breast cancer. So I mean, it was just very informative. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
so
yeah, that was something I didn't know either.
Yeah, I mean, that this information is so important that we share it for the mm-hmm. people that didn't know it, right? So that, you know, maybe if I got something going on, maybe I need to get checked out, or let me see if somebody in my family had breast cancer and they never told it, because a lot of men do that. They keep the stuff to themselves, and that's it's unfortunate. So we need to speak up and let people, our family members know what's happening, and so that they can protect themselves ultimately, you know, from this disease. And so, but he was fortunate because it was early for him. He went right away as soon as he got his first indication that something was wrong. But anyway, I want to thank everyone. Anybody else have anything else to say while we are, you know, can we go back into to another segment of the show? Is there anything anyone? The mics are open.
Women, well, just go and get your mammograms.
Yeah, that's not true. She's telling y'all.
Wow, that's true.
This is Terry, and Cedar Sinai has a good program over there for anyone who wants to go over and check on, get checked, get treatment. There are a lot of treatment places out there that they can contact if they are having any problems, if they suspect. Just like Patricia said, go get checked early, get your mammograms, don't be afraid, you know, of what you might find out. Some people don't want to get checked because they're afraid of what they might find out. So
right.
It's very, very important to get checked early. That way it's mm-hmm. not too late. You don't wait until mm-hmm. you're 3 or 4 levels too late. So like Matthew Knowles said, he caught it early. So yes. Take care of ourselves, exercise, get your yearly checkup, eat healthy, you know, and take care of your body, take care of that temple, you know. I also wanted to say something else. This doesn't have to do with cancer, but I'm here with my mom. I take care of my mom. And
hi, mom.
She's listening with us.
Hi, mom.
She can't speak or anything, but when she heard her sister's voice, she opened her eyes and she started smiling. I was asking her, I said, you know who that is? And she was like, that's her sister, Patricia. So she recognized her voice and she was smiling as she was listening. So I just wanted her to know that.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, man, I have wet eyes. Thanks a lot, ladies. This is wow. But, you know, guys, we just thank you so much. And we want to continue to have these healthy conversations, once a week. I think, you know, just as we, you know, celebrate other things, we need to make sure that we talk about, you know, what's going on with our bodies and how we can, you know, enjoy these other things that we enjoy healthy-wise, you know, I mean, health-wise. You know, we need to take care of ourselves so we can enjoy our families and enjoy each other. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story. And Auntie, we were praying for your friend, and we just pray that she, you know, enjoys the rest of her life. And we're sorry what she's going through, but, you know, all things are possible with God. So
yeah,
we'll
be praying. That's the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
You're awesome. Thank you for the information.
Yes, thank you guys for sharing the information. You guys made it happen, so I appreciate that very much. And so we're going to take a small music break. And, let me just say, Don, do you have anything you would like to say?
You know, I'm a sponge, man. I'm just absorbing all of this knowledge. And, again, I want to thank you ladies, and I want to go ahead and just introduce myself, Don Fleming. Of course, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the stories behind, you know, just this month, as far as our self-worth and awareness is so important. I want thank you ladies for pinpointing that and understanding, you know, we have that sense of self-worth, and understanding, you know, the things like get checked, and just be aware of the things that are around you. Be aware of the foods that you're taking in your body and things like that. I'm a work in progress. So it's definitely something that needed to be said. And thank you, ladies, for showcasing and talking a little about that, because you never know who needed to hear that. And I'm a testament to that. So thank you again. And thank you, Wardell, for that platform.
Welcome.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Well, God bless, and thanks again. Have a blessed weekend, everybody. And
you as well, and stay safe.
Okay, God bless. All right.
You
thank
too.
You, Auntie.
Thanks for having me.
Don't make me cry. The one from the door.
Wow.
I miss Whitney, man. I miss Whitney. I miss her. But you know what? What we do here again, Solar Records Radio, of course, if you passed on physically, your music is here, and we keep that legacy going. And again, yeah. It's going to be here. That music is going to be here for generations after we're gone. So, wow. I mean, physically, I miss her. But I know the stamp that she laid, you know, in her path and in her lifetime, the music that she left, just to her humanitarian work that she's done. Now, all of the negativity that people, I'm not focused on that right now. You know, I mean, to me, that's not important right now. I think people like to. And I don't want to go off tangent too much. I'm just going to make my point, and then I'll give the mic back to you. But I think a person, I get it, negativity and positivity. I mean, that's the template of a person's whole life. You got to take the good with the bad. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, when you think about a person like Whitney, and of course you when you think of the music, you don't think about the bad things. But at the same time, I do understand the so-called bad things made her who she is. But I'm not focused on that right now, and I'm focused on her legacy, and again, her music will live on.
Absolutely. Well said, too. I appreciate that. And we have an amazing singer on the line as well, a sister as well. And Carrie, what are your thoughts?
On Whitney? Oh, I love Whitney.
See, she wouldn't put
Whitney was one of my one of the artists that I studied. Her ability to go into a studio and just do all of those songs that you heard, that you hear, she did in one take. I worked with some producers that worked with her, and she would go into that studio, and she would do it one take. And she would be like, that's all you getting. And she would be like, I got to go. And so that's how amazing she was. She was a great talent. I'm just sorry that she succumbed to, you know, I don't want to harp on the negative aspects of her career, but it is what it is. I mean, it's all out there. So I'm not putting her down or anything. I'm just sad that she succumbed to that, but she's a great talent that definitely will be missed. And again, like you too, your music is music that everybody will be able to play for years to come and remember and feel good about. And, you know, it's for me, the music that's out there right now, I some of it I really love, but I just can't. It's not taking me anywhere. I mean, the melodies are the same, you know, melody over and over and over again. There's no change. There's no melodic, you know.
Yeah.
Part of it, the beats are, they go with the fast beat, and so it doesn't really take you anywhere. Some of it is really good, but I'm more prone to listen to music that can be played 20 years from now, you know, still take you there, and it still inspire you and still make you feel a certain kind of way.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to add, I think you don't, and this goes beyond any type of religious dogma, whatever your religious practice is. I'm just laying it out there. I think that the church influence, the influence of gospel, the root of gospel, I think that was one of the things that made, and I'm just saying in R&B particularly, that a lot of people don't have that edge anymore. Because, you know, you remember back in the day when you interview an artist in the 70s and 80s, they say, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
That sound to me, that root,
came from that
root is slowly deteriorating, and a lot of people are losing that gospel rootedness of soul music, of R&B, and some levels of maybe hip-hop. Now, that's argumentative, but again, I think when people, when you lose that edge of the gospel, you start, you know, there's generations that are growing up that don't have that foundation. You know, it's almost like you're playing with pots and pans, you know, thinking it's music. Again, that's just my opinion, but I just feel like those roots are starting to, we're starting to lose that root. It's root in gospel. And again, it has nothing to do, to me, it has nothing to do with religion or whatever. I'm just saying, when people say, hey, I grew up in the church. I grew up in a choir. I grew up in this choir. You don't hear that no more. You don't really hear that anymore in a lot of artists today. And you're listening to the result of that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. That root is nobody's going to church anymore. And if they are going to church, they're not looking at it the way we used to look at it, like I used to look at it. That was my mother made us go to church. I've been everything everybody can think of. But my root also started in the church too, and I traveled in one of the biggest gospel choirs going. You know, it was James Cleveland's choir, and then Rodini Preston's Voices of Deliverance, and we were the hottest thing going. And I was just a teeny tot, but hey, I was in there singing, and so that's where that that soul, that grip, the stories, that's where those come from. You know, not too many stories now. Everything's about, you know, sex, you know, everything is about, you know, showing everything. Like my mother used to say, you know, don't dress a certain way because you want to leave the imagination there. There's no imagination anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything is just all out there. Just, hey, see my this, see my, you know, I don't like talking this way, but see my breast, see my butt cheeks, you know, see my small waistline. I mean, all that, and everybody knows, don't nobody have no shape like that, you know? And, you know, you have to work at it to get it. And when you get a certain age, you got to really work hard to have that shape like that. So instead of, it was more like accepting people. Back then, it wasn't accepting people for what they were, so that's why a lot of people got into, became depressed and saddened because they weren't able to express themselves as they were. That's the good thing about nowadays. Now you can just be who you are and it's okay. But the bad side of that is, like, there's no limit to that, you know. There's no stopping point to let it all hang out. Like, now they literally let it all hang out, you know. So I'm not trying to put any damper on anybody's hustle or game, but for me, it's just, you know, people like artists like, let me see, Queen Latifah, Alicia Keys, you know, Layla Hathaway, you know, Let us see, Rochelle Farrell, artists like that, they never compromised who they were. They said, you know what, I don't have to do all that to make it, but that's what the way of the world now. They want to see something. Well, I'm going to be where I am because I'm never going to do that as an artist. I just feel like my talent, my personality, you know, how I am, not so much as how I look, because I don't, be honest with you, everybody says, oh, you're beautiful. I don't see that. So for me, it's just being who I am, letting my stories, my talent, you know, my relations, building good relationships, hopefully that carries me to the point that to my goal, and not because of what I look like or what I have on or what I'm showing.
Wow, that's beautiful. I'm so proud of you.
Great perspective.
And I mean, she is exactly who she said she is. I've been talking to her for 2 weeks, and I claim her as my friend, you know, and just like I claimed her auntie, you know, I'm trying to get in the family over there. It's you know, And mom, I'm always asking about mom. So, you know, she is that person. And that's what people need to do is stand up and do what's right. It's not about selling your soul. It's about selling your art, your music, your gifts, not your soul. And so many young ladies especially are doing that. And men are saying things about women that is so demeaning. I don't know how women let them get by with that, but they do. They actually start singing the songs.
They ain't
with
talking
them.
About me.
And, you know, and so, but I'm so excited that Carrie has too much integrity to allow herself to be used by the industry in that way, because it will use you and abuse you and move on to the next one. So you
and I could have been further on had I did compromising things,
right.
But I refused to do that. I said no, and there was a main. I won't put it out there, say who it was, but there was a major label that wanted to sign me, and I said no, because I would have had to compromise who I was, and I would have to give up all my catalog and all that, my songwriter's catalog. So I was like, no. And people were like, you're stupid. I was like, no, I'm not. My time will come, and my time is now. Yeah, my time is now. And, you know, just like, you know, back in the day, if you called your friend a B-I-T-C-H, those are fighting words. You cannot, even my friends today, we don't play like that. I mean, like, you know, call each other the B word, and they're going to look at you like, don't do that. That's not who I am. So we don't even play like that. But now women, they refer to themselves as that, and it's like, I don't get it. I don't, it's just, this industry, there has to be a part in the industry that maintains some type of integrity to respect and respect for self. And that's where I am. And I know that's a small group of people that are there that think of themselves in that way. And hopefully, you know, it's going to be difficult for us to make it. But, hey, you know what? My main thing is that I did it. Whether I become this major star or not, that's not important to me. What's important is that somebody heard my music. Somebody was touched by my lyrics, my story, my journey. Somebody has some integrity to respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ones, even if it's one or two, those are the ones I would perform for those one or two as though it were a mass a group of people. That one or two is all I need to be worried about, because that one or two, I touch them in some way.
Amen.
You know what? You brought up something, and I know we probably have a little time left, but I got to ask this question, and this is towards you, Kay. How, as a woman, and in your opinion, or your viewpoint, your vantage point over the years, how do you compromise between an artist that is exuding a level of sexual liberation versus just being flat out, I don't want to say skanky, but you get
just
where
flat
I'm
out
saying.
Being a hoe. That's what
you're
trying to say.
I didn't want to say that, but yes. What is that compromise? What is that? How do you reconcile? Is there a line? And please, the floor is yours.
Okay. Yes, there is. There is. And again, let me say this, because I don't want any negative feedback from it. I'm not putting down anybody's hustle. Some folks got to do what they got to do to pay their bills. Okay?
Right.
Let me just say that. I respect that, because that's what they got to do. That's all they know. That's what they do. But there's a difference between presenting yourself as a sexual, respectful woman and just a straight-out hoe, okay? There's a difference. And it's black and white. You know, you can be sensual. You can wear, like, for instance, something low cut or tight fitting and accentuate your figure and carry yourself like a lady. Or you could just show, you know, you can wear this, something sensual, but then you'll excuse me for saying this. I got to learn how to have some tact sometimes.
You're good.
I'm just going to say it. You could have the same sensual dress. Okay, this picture two women. Okay? They got on the same dress. One, you know, she has it. It's low cut. It's showing, you know, some cleavage, you know, and it's showing her curves. And, you know, she looks really good in it. She's wearing it well. You know, she's, you know, sexy. Then you got another one with the same dress on. One breast is hanging out. Nipple showing. No underwear on. You can see the, you know, the shape of everything. You can just see everything. You might as well just not have nothing on but naked. That's the difference. Okay? That's the difference in compromising yourself or a woman showing her sexual side of her or just you know, not having any tact in doing it. That's the difference. Did I answer your question?
Wow. You did. You know, someone will say, you did. Someone will say, well, even at that look, it's sexually liberating. It's liberating for a woman to do that, you know. And I don't want to feel like I want to ever put myself in a position to feel like I'm mansplaining, you know, right, a woman's right to liberate herself. But I'm kind of just in that back seat and I'm just listening. And I want to just get a woman's perspective.
But everybody don't want to see your sexual liberation. If you wanna be sexually liberated, do it in your own household. Do it for your man, you know. Do it for them. But mm-hmm. everybody should not be privy to your sexual liberation. They should be. We should be. Some things. What happened to having respect for yourself and other people? What happened to having? That's it. Respect for yourself. You know, everybody don't want to see everything.
That's where
the line is crossed because, oh, I'm sexually liberated, but okay. So where's your personal? Do you have any personal space? You could be sexually liberated in your own personal space, but everybody should not be privy to your sexual liberation. Because
gotcha.
Now you've got, for me, the way I look at things is I look at things like I'm not the only one. Say, for instance, my way of worship, okay? When I do things, mm-hmm. I'm not – people are looking at me. So if I'm representing a worship, then there's a certain line I cannot cross because now I got other people mm-hmm. that I'm representing too, and I don't want – them to look bad because of what I'm doing. So you have to, when it comes to the public, there should mm-hmm. be, you know, there should be a line that you just don't cross. But now this, we all understand this is Satan's world and everything, do your own thing, it's your thing, do what you want to do. Well, people are literally doing that now, okay?
Yeah.
And they don't care who they, you know, offend. They don't care who they hurt. You know, the greater number of love has cooled off in the world. So people just don't care. It's me. There's a commercial on TV that says, okay, me. Have you guys seen it? It says me. What do you have? What about our insurance? Check me.
Mm-hmm.
What about our social media? Check. And then it's like me. Me, I
mm-hmm,
hate that commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that commercial because it's showing what the world is like today. Everybody is about themselves and not about the next person. They're not their brother's keeper. They don't care. So that's like a person coming and parking in front of your house and they park in the middle and don't leave no room for nobody else to park on either side. So it's like nobody
cares
about yeah, they don't care about the next person. So for me, you know, I don't want to see anybody's sexual liberation. I'm just going to put it out there. You know, keep your own sexual liberation over there, and that's it. You know, I don't care to see your breasts or your butt or whatever else you want to show. I don't want to see that. You know,
well,
it's just respectful.
Right. You guys,
I don't want to see it.
Ooh. All
you
right,
know?
All
so
right.
I'm just
I got to bring home.
Yeah.
I know. I put my first song out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a remake of Love Come Down. And I had on, you know, a nice pantsuit. And some guy, and I put it on social media, and some guy gonna say, "Yeah, you pretty, but looking like a
judge,
like a church girl, or something like yeah. he said. And so I fired back before I thought about it, because that was my first time getting on social media, and I don't know, you know, the etiquette. I just fired back. I was like, it's better than looking like a house. You know, I just said it.
Yeah.
And so he got mad at me and started saying some other derogatory things, and I ended up told him off on social media and then blocked him. But I know now.
Sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you just got to do that because these are people you don't know. You're never going to really, they're just going to throw their opinion out there and, you know, just block them. I learned that block button a long time ago.
Well, listen, guys, the show is about to end, so we can't make it go any longer, and I don't want you guys to get cut off in this intense conversation. That's very important. But I just want to thank you, Carrie Taylor. Thank you so much for, you know, your thoughts and your wisdom, your beauty, and your gifts that you share with us here at Solar Records Radio. Thanks, Don Fleming, for engaging in a much-needed conversation. And maybe you guys can continue it on your Monday night show if she's available. But, I thank you guys both. And I'm playing a little Carrie in the background. So this show is going to end by itself. So I just want to thank y'all again. And
thank you for having me.
Oh. You're welcome. And before you go, Carrie, I want to talk to you behind the scenes, all right? So hold on a second.
Clean, hustle, clean money. I'm a lady. Work hard, go hard, play hard. All eyes on me, I'm a star. A real chick, the kind of kick home. Me and mama get along, cause my game is strong. Brains up, a beauty I flaunt. Rising to the top, making money, I'm a boss. I've got to stay on top of my game and rest.